Blog Talk Radio.
That guy came up just before I came up, so it might have been my double. That's the theme song for the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini. My sidekick, the one that straws the drink out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, soon to be New York, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, where you subscribe to podcast powered now by Mancini Media. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Danielle, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, it's like we're a week away from the draft.
I know, it's crazy. I have no idea what music that was, but I guess it'll get everybody going.
Yeah.
That was interesting. So I guess they're excited about the draft too. Everybody can get a hold of me at Birth of the Fae on Instagram. And I guess let's just get into everything that's been going on as we get ready for the draft. And first of all, this is exciting, Mark. For all the years we've been playing football and the NFL's been doing its thing, they just started and just had their first medical safety summit. In all the years the NFL has been around, and for all of their meetings, this was the very first year they ever decided to have a medical safety summit. And all it took was to have Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert all go down in one season and to miss a combined 36 games. Apparently, this was the thing that made them go, maybe we should have a meeting. How they never had a medical safety summit and got all their people together that handle safety issues and go, what's working and what isn't? I have no idea. I would have thought this was happening every year. But no, guys, this has not happened. So Dr. Alan Sills, who, like, you know, is their doctor who oversees all this stuff. He has a special title, but let's face it, he doesn't do much. So it's not worth it. He was there, and they brought in the speaker, Tony Dungy, because when I think medical safety in the NFL, I think retired coach Tony Dungy. That goes hand in hand. Okay, he came in to talk. What is exactly his qualification? Couldn't tell you. So then he decided, well, let's call Andrew Whitmore. Yeah, because once again, medical safety, retired players. I don't really know what happened here. I don't know what they talked about things. It was a couple days, sports medicine stuff. This was called, once again, let's cover our own butts and make it look like we're doing something. You know, the NFL already banned the tap, you know, the hip drop. We already did that, but I don't know. Maybe the guy just needed something to do. Instead of, like, really sitting down and saying, oh, make sure, you know, we had ER doctors on call. Instead of, you know, the ophthalmologist, that kind of stuff, you know, cardiac, like, are all our stadiums near trauma centers that can handle certain things? No, we didn't discuss that. Instead, we brought out, like, can everybody do CPR? Which you have to do anyway if you have certain license. Like, a personal trainer even needs to be able to do CPR. They're just, that's covered. So I don't know. To me, this was just another, look at us, we're so worried about your safety, oh my God, that BS going on. They had, like, a dietitian. That's what we had. And I get it, like, make sure your body's running well, you're putting the right food in there. These guys are doing that. They have personal, they have their own men doing this. This is, they got their guys handling this. Men and women are, like, taking care of them on that end. We didn't need to waste 4 days on this crap. But sure, Gazelle, you're doing a great job. Thumbs up. So that's my rant, Mark. And moving on.
No, what you're basically saying is true. in more ways than one. Now, I don't know if you've been, you know, looking at the NBA with the whole gambling thing. They just, Jonte Porter got banned from the NBA, and we've seen it kind of trickle in baseball, and we've seen it trickle in the NFL with Ripley and all that. But, I mean, Roger Goodell has been an idiot commissioner. I don't care what anybody says. No. I mean, he's just been
– Agreed.
He's been just, you know, one of these guys that's done nothing to elevate the status, whether it's been the helmet issues, whether it's been anything. So, to me, he's a complete clown. I don't know what your whole take is on it, but it's just ridiculous to see this guy not booted out. The only reason he has a job is he's making the owner's money, and that's the only reason he has. Yeah,
yep.
Because he should have been out when that whole thing with Ray Rice. Should have been out, you know, with the whole, you know, helmet and, you know, the trauma with the, you know, these people dying and not helping those guys out. The guy's an idiot, and I don't know how this idiot, but then, you know what, I've seen this across the board in anything. Out here in Los Angeles, these government workers are getting 22% pay increases, but yet weeds are growing all over my street. So, I mean, what are we giving raises for people that don't even want to work, half of them? So, you know, this is the problem. This is the big problem that just keeps on going, that we kind of turn a blind eye to all this. And, you know, people complain, but they do nothing about it. They just vote them out. That's all.
But we,
you know, vote them out. They had contracts. Yeah. Vote them out.
You know, they're the ones who could do it. The fans can't.
Well,
that's the problem.
You know, our boy down there in Dallas changed the way, you know, football was in L.A. You know, he brought the Rams back out here. So, you know, you need powerful ownership. And,
you need better,
you know, it's painful. You know, that's the problem. Let me get to Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass. And he goes, you know, you talk about what's going on there. And I just sent you the thing that Bill Belichick.
Yes, Belichick.
Here's a guy that's been out of a job. I had the Falcons doing something last year, and they came up short.
Well, I got a little bit of news on that coming up.
Right. I had them doing something last year, and they came up short. Okay. So then I thought, you bring in Kirk Cousins, you bring in all these weapons. You know, you start shoring it up, and then what do? You drop the ball and go get the guy from the Rams that was an assistant coach to run your franchise. What? I mean, Arthur Blank, I like you, but come on, man. Don't be out of that movie Dumb and Dumber here. You had a guy that's a winning coach. You bring him down to Atlanta, and the guy was willing to work with anything you wanted. He didn't want control. Could have put you over the top, and now we're over here in Atlanta where, you know, you're hoping this guy can, do some wonders here. But I don't know. I really don't. Kirk Cousins there is solidified at the quarterback position. But I don't know what the Falcons did. I think they shot themselves in the foot. And I've seen this dog and pony show happen in a lot of sports. I've seen it happen where, you know, we saw Breeze leave San Diego. The Chargers fell on their ass for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Harbaugh leave the 49ers. The Niners fell on their ass for 10 years. We've seen this with a lot of franchises. They get rid of guys, whether it's a quarterback or a coach, and their franchise falls on its ass. Here was an opportunity for Atlanta to really separate themselves from everybody in that division. And now I'm kind of wondering, well, you didn't take the next step. I don't know if it was a money deal or whatever. Dude's 71. The dude's a winner. Give him what he wants. And sit back and just write his check. I don't understand it, Danielle.
There's two things on that. From what I heard from Atlanta, Belichick said some things in the interview about his assistants. And what Atlanta was looking for was something off the Belichick tree. You know, like, okay, when he's ready to go, because he is 71, they were looking for more longevity, and they thought, who's ever under him could step up, and his response was, my guys are better soldiers than generals. They don't lead well. He was referring to guys who've gone off on their own, you know, Josh and with the Raiders, even, you know, Joe Judge with the Giants. Like, he does not produce the next one. They took that a certain way. The owners in general are becoming more hands-on. As for the Panthers, when he met with the Panthers, I keep calling him David Tepish because I think of Vlad the Impaler, and that's how he runs the place, but it's David Tepper. He didn't like him. Basically, what he does is Dave runs analytics and statistics on the calls that the coaches make. And then he goes in and critiques them. You're not doing that with Belichick. You're just not. Belichick runs from the gut. He's old school, smash mouth. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it from what I've seen from years and years. That's not how the Panthers run. That's not how ownership runs. You weren't going to do it. They moved on. They wanted somebody younger. And to be honest, a little bit of a beta that the owner could come in and give him critiques. Think of it as notes when you're acting. You wanted to give him notes. He's the director. This isn't going to work with somebody like Belichick. It's just not. Now, what has happened today is it has come out that Belichick is pretty much putting the NFC East on notice. He's putting the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Eagles all on notice and saying, I can slide into any one of these coaching positions next year, and I'm hovering and I'm waiting. From what I have heard, he has already, without getting in trouble, spoken to the Giants because he feels like if anybody's going to lay an egg, and unfortunately I can say that too, it's going to be Brian Daboll, and he wants in. So he's going to sit this season out. And that he always kind of thought that was the way it was going to go, and he's looking at the NFC East, and that's what he wants in. And they've all looked at it. I don't think he'll go to Dallas because of Kraft and Jones. I don't think Jones would hire him now, with everything that's gone down with the dynasty and all this stuff. But yeah, I think the Eagles. I think Nick Sirianni. If you don't turn this something around, especially after stealing
Saban. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with what you just brought up. Sirianni's on a thin rope, and the Bulls on a thin rope. So I think that's what's going to happen there with those two guys.
Major.
I think they're looking at how the draft is handled. Yep.
I think now
we're going to get into the draft next week, and there's so much more to talk about. And 17 minutes left in this great show. We go by so quick, but. I think the Redskins are trying to figure out, well, if Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears, I think they're going to take the May kid. I think he's going to be coming to Washington. I don't know what you think on that.
I think they're going Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels fits better with them. Drake May does not have some of the mechanics. They're not as developed. Drake May still needs help with his footwork, whereas Jaden Daniels is ready to go. He still needs a little bit of this. He still needs – boy, he can move. He can run.
You're right, but the sleeper is J.J. McCarthy. And I think he might end up with the Chargers. I think they're going to work something to get McCarthy in L.A.,
I think the Raiders – I've heard the Raiders like Penix a lot, and they could easily sneak up. I don't think you need to sneak up for Penix, to be honest. I think Penix will fall, and you'll get him because of the injury history, and I like Penix a lot. But those injuries would make me worried if you don't have an O-line to protect him, or else you're going to draft him and you're going to have an Anthony Richards scenario, and three games, and all of a sudden you're looking at your backups going, you got to get in there. So Penix makes me nervous. Unless you have that O-line in place. J.J. McCarthy, I think, is good. The problem is, and it's not a knock to Harbaugh, it's actually a compliment to Harbaugh, he knows how to build a very balanced scheme to where the quarterback does not have to put the whole game on his back, but then you don't get to see everything he can do. And that's my issue with J.J. McCarthy. Not saying he's not good, but I don't know everything about him. So I can't see him.
Right.
Do I think he deserves being in the top four? I'm sitting here going, I haven't seen enough from you to say yes or no.
Let me bring in Albert from Poway, regular listener to the show, says the show is great. He had brought in the Dak Prescott scandal, And I shoved, you know, made sure you saw what was coming up on the teleprompter there. So this reminds me, I don't know if you've been following the baseball aspect of it, but Trevor Bauer was accused of sexual assault with a woman that tried to extort a lot of money from him. And now they're going after her because her story has changed a few times and she filed a false police report. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, is this same thing happening with Dak Prescott? The only reason why I was harsh on Deshaun Watson with this whole thing was there was just multiple women coming out of the woodwork. This thing was way overboard. And, you know, we're dealing with one or maybe two with Prescott, and we were dealing with one or two maybe with Bauer, so we kind of figured, okay, maybe, you know, they're just setting them up or something. But the Watson one was way out. I mean, it was like 70-something women. Yeah. So there's where I kind of thought, you know, this guy's just got a problem, man. And that's where I looked at that one. But these other guys, I'm kind of thinking now, is the Dak Prescott thing going down the same road as the Trevor Bauer?
I don't know because, you know, I think he was arrested, but I think it was 2016. In the morning of March 12th for DUI. So, you know, but this chick, I think, happened in 2017. So I think they're unrelated. You know, I don't want to say, oh, he doesn't look like the type because, you know, that's just victim shaming. And, I don't want to do that. Every story should be heard. It's just, you know, I think this was around the time he lost also a family member. So you got a question, was he around? She also tried to extort money from him before she went to the cops. So
here's the thing. I mean,
I don't know.
I've always said if you got that kind of money and you're into this, just go pay for it, you know, or whatever you need to do. It's kind of scary because if you're sincere, you don't know what the other person's thinking and you don't know if it's set up. You don't know if, you know, this lady knows, okay, he's making a lot of money. You know, I'm pushing a pen and a pay. I don't know. I don't want to disrespect anybody's job, but you know, it's kind of one of those things. And it kind of reminds me of, and I'm not a big fan of his, but it kind of makes sense. Maybe you have to do this. Is Justin Bieber, whenever he would meet somebody, he'd say, well, you know, let everybody in the place know that he's going up to the room. And I don't know what kind of protection these guys need, you know, because it should be consensual, one. Number two, I don't know if one person has a hidden agenda more so than the other person thinking he's going to roll around and have a fun time. So I don't understand it, but boy, oh boy, are people quick. When one of these things goes the wrong way, it always seems, well, the guy did this or, you know, this one did that or, you know, and now with this whole thing with Bauer, maybe it'll open up where we can look at it in two different ways now instead of just one way. If it's not multiple people coming out on you. You know, and then you're going to think to yourself, Danielle, with the multiple people coming out on you, is it just people just trying to get on the train now when it's full?
Well,
saying, oh, yeah, I dated him 5 years ago at Mississippi State, and, he grabbed my boob or something. I don't know. I don't know this.
My thing is like, okay, she sent him a letter demanding $100 million in exchange for staying quiet about the accusations regarding an alleged incident. Okay, well, first show me the letter, you know, because there's something like, okay, maybe you just wanted to get yours for this bad experience or whatever.
Right.
But if it happened in 2017, why is it taking you 6 years? You just wanted to see how much money he'd make? You know, like if this happened, it's 6 years later. So now you saw his contract and now you're like, oh, I'm going to go get me some. Yeah, there's just I'm questioning, and it's like I got to hear the whole story, and then we can talk. It's, you know, it's the same thing. It's kind of like the Rashee Rice, which I'm sorry, he admitted he did it. We all know he was racing the car. There is no, well, did he or didn't he? He stood right up and he went, yeah, it was me racing. Okay, you did it. You know what I mean? Now you got to face the music. I have a problem with Patrick Mahomes in Texas throwing balls to him saying, well, I got to get my chemistry up with him. He said he did it. He's in trouble. Going by NFL rules, he's going to be suspended. It's eight
right.
felony counts. This is what's going to happen. Sorry, there is no, like, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Mahomes, he said he did it. This is just how it is. Like, don't you can't sit there and go, well, I'm going to stand by my guy till the investigation's over. What investigation? He said he was drag racing. He said it. Hit four other cars. They were minor injuries. You're lucky.
Well, you know, it comes back to what I said before, and I'll say it again. If they like you, they'll figure out ways to cover it up. If they don't like you, they're going to bring the book on you. I've seen that with this whole Ohtani thing in Los Angeles by, you know, going from $4 million to $16 million. You don't know what the hell happened. How do you not know what the hell is going on with your own bank account when you have all these people at work for you? You know, it's one of these things, and I don't care what anybody says. This guy will always have that over his head until it gets justified. And now with the FBI involved in it, well, they're going to probably get down to the bottom of it. So you never, you know.
Yeah, it's just,
but it just
talent buys you out of a lot of things when it's
Yeah. And if you bring in money to the city, you know, it changes the whole tune too. You know, you got a whole flock of a village you're bringing into Dodger Stadium, and you know that's the thing. You're going to look the other way. Fernando Mania was big in the '80s. You know, and you know, they if Fernando did something, I'm sure, you know, hey, what can we do here to, you know, they don't want to ruffle the feathers, and that's the problem, and that's the same thing with the Ohtani thing. But a guy like Pete Rose that bet on the game, and I know we're doing a football show, is reprimanded and he's done because you know that he bet on baseball. But that had nothing to do with 4,000 hits. Nothing to do with 4,000 hits. Right.
So it's that's okay.
But it's the same. It's the same thing with these. It's the same thing with these women and guys and everything. I don't know. I don't know what the best antidote is. Maybe you're starting to see a lot of these guys date or go out with somebody they knew in college, and then they kind of get married. They go into the pros, or you know they kind of known them for a long time because. If you're just, you know, going into a bar and drinking an apple martini, and you're thinking this is going to be one of these roles, and then okay, I just, you know, I get my things off, they get their things off, and we're going to forget about everything. Some of these people don't want to forget, and then it becomes one of those things where now, you know, it comes to the forefront, you know, because reality comes back into the equation. That's what the big thing is.
Part of it is these young guys who come in, because as we're seeing it, they're making more money a lot quicker. You know, they make one amazing catch, and we'll go back to the OBJ catch, you know, in Dallas that night. Okay, we lost the game, but anyway, he became a superstar. He was on Madden, you know, the next year. It was amazing. Nobody is sitting them down and saying, okay, so this is what's going to happen. Because now you have social media. You have so many more things that gives them the opportunity to have – sponsorship and all these things, licensing agreements, they're making money quicker. They're becoming, whether it's influencers or whatever, these are opportunities that they didn't have a couple years ago. Nobody sits them down and I almost want to say onboards them into the life of an NFL player. These guys come from college and all it takes is one catch, one return, whatever it is, one sack. And all of a sudden everybody's going, oh my God. And that's it. Now they got a Snickers commercial. I mean, remember, Johnny Manziel had a Snickers commercial before the man ever even, you know, got under center. And all of a sudden he was, and we saw what happened. Nobody sits them down and onboards them and says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be able to, they'll just give you a Lamborghini or a vet just to see, just to have you in it and pictures taken to put on their Instagram. Nobody's telling them what to do. So I think that's a little piece of it. Now, is it the NFL's job, like as the rookie class comes in, or is it the team, the owner's job? that's where it can become a little
dicey.
Yeah,
that makes sense. You know, that you know, you bring up some interesting points, and as we're winding this thing down under 5 minutes, I think the biggest thing is, you know, just know what you're getting into, and that's the thing. And some of these guys don't know what they're getting into. As far as one thing I want to point out before we get ready to close this show, I'm looking for the Steelers to do something in this draft too, and I'm also looking for them to finalize that trade with Minnesota to get Jefferson in there.
That got really quiet, but now I'm hearing rumors of them liking Brandon Ayuk from the 49ers. There's all this talk now with the Steelers and him going back and forth. So I think the Steelers are definitely shopping for a wide receiver.
Well, I will tell you one thing, and I'm going to throw it out there, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if this thing goes down. You might think I'm crazy, but I'm going to throw one out from left field, and it might land, you know, in the city of Pittsburgh. But don't be surprised if J.J. Watt comes rolling around in that city.
I've heard that, and I've also heard, and oh, my God, I hope this doesn't happen because I think I'll have to go take him out of the kneecaps. Tom Brady, stay freaking retired, please. Please stay retired.
Yeah.
He's talking again about it. Stay retired. You're done. You're going in the Hall of Fame. Your life is great. You left the party. Stay gone. This is like the guy who keeps coming back and going, oh, did I forget something? Oh, what are you guys doing now?
Yeah.
The door closed, honey. Just go. Just go. You're the greatest, whatever. You left at the right time. Nobody wants to see you hobbling on this field like a Vinny Testaverde. Just go. 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 Somebody block the door. Yeah. I don't know what you have to do. Nail it shut. We're done. We're done.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt, anytime you want to come back, come back. No, Brady. No.
Yeah, that would be interesting in Pittsburgh. I think it's a two-team race. I think it'll be Pittsburgh and Baltimore battling it out. I think Cincinnati falls back a little. I love Burrow, but I just can't see the Bengals doing much. And the Browns are just the Browns are just a total.
The Browns are not the Browns. We had a flash of greatness, and it's gone.
You know, I like your logo with the brownie on there and everything. You know, the elf and stuff. It's great, but your franchise is a complete clown show. And that's where the Browns are. Hey, as we wrap this thing up, I know next week we'll be right next to the draft. Breaking down the whole draft, you'll be doing your move. I know your move will be coming up back up to New York, so you'll be there. WWDB, we're part of you too, so things run in threes. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know at the top of this hour, you and Chelsea will be doing the Novel Beginning.
Novel Beginning's back. Chelsea's back from vacay, so we will be getting back together at 8 p.m. for a Novel Beginning. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And then, we're getting excited for Philly. We'll be coming up in July, just at the start of camp, just at the start of training season.
Oh, man,
so,
that's going to be great.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Having you in Philly busting out the Liberty Bell smack sweatshirts and stuff, and that'll be something, man. That'll be good, and, you know, ripping the city of brotherly love back up again. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of me on Instagram at BirthTheFay and slide into the DMs. Give me your top 5-6 picks in the draft, whatever you think.
Yeah.
And do you think J.J. McCarthy belongs in the top four? Is he a top four quarterback? Is he a first-round quarterback? Or do you think he should hang out there with maybe Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler? What do you think? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I'd like to see where some of these great defensive ends are going to go, too, in the draft. And we'll be talking about it next week. For Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina for a couple more weeks. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Have a blessed one. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. We'll see you next week, guys. Have a blessed one. Thanks for tuning in.